Welcome to the If Anyone Cares podcast. My name is Riley McManus, and episode 3 is here. And you see by clicking on it, we had Katie Whittem on this week. Very great conversation. One of the most enjoyable of my career. One of the longer ones of my career. And we edited it out very, very little of it. So, very authentic. You're going to get Katie Whittem, as you've probably never seen him before. And I'm very, very excited for you guys to hear it. But first, if you go back and listen to episode 1, we explained how this show is going to go and unravel as the shows continue to progress. One thing I failed to mention, as we go forward and get feedback on these shows, we're going to adjust them and we're gonna figure out what works. As you can probably guess, the listeners kind of determine how this kind of goes, because without you guys, obviously, this show would not exist. So, we're going to do our best to please you and also make it fun and enjoyable for us. This week, I don't have a ton of time because, again, the Katie Whittem conversation went really long. Longer than I anticipated, but I'm not willing to edit out any of it. So we're going to chop it down to 1 point this week. 1 point in soccer is a draw. 1 point's not bad, especially if you're on the road. So this 1 point actually relates to soccer, politics, pop culture, and the World Cup. So, pretty much covering all our bases here. So, point one. This is a tweet from @RealDonaldTrump, the president's Twitter account. The actual president of the United States, Donald Trump, still can't believe that Twitter is a thing that he still does. Quote, the U.S. put a strong bid with Canada and Mexico for the 2026 World Cup. It would be a shame if countries that we always support were to lobby against the U.S. bid. Why should we be supporting countries when they don't support us, including at the United Nations? Close quote. All right, so that's a tweet from Donald Trump, as I mentioned. He's the president of the United States, in case you haven't heard. Or if you're listening in a different country, yeah, that Donald Trump, the real estate dude, is our president. So the United States and Canada, with the help of Mexico, have put together this bid for the 2026 World Cup. We are bidding against Morocco. And that vote will be decided on June 13th on Fox, the day before the World Cup kicks off in Russia. Very, very excited. You probably watched that on Fox. But we're here. The United States, along with Canada and Mexico, is trying to get the World Cup in this country. The United States lost out to Qatar in 2022. And I'm not going to lie. I want the U.S. to win this bid. I think every American and a lot of other people around the world want to see the United States have another World Cup, because 1994 was great. 1994 was one of the most influential tournaments on a country ever. 94, that World Cup turned the page for U.S. soccer to the extent that MLS was created 2 years later, just based on the growth of the game and the growth of the popularity, that we need to have a league here. A major league that's lasted 23 years, and it's bigger than ever right now. Obviously, because we have 16, 17-year-old kids going to games and covering it. So, MLS is like here now. And in no small parts of the 1994 World Cup. So, to have this country host a World Cup again in 2026 is something that U.S. soccer needs after not making the World Cup in 2018. We need to win this bid. Because if the United States failed to qualify for the Olympics in 2016, they lose to Trinidad and Tobago and don't make the World Cup, and they lose the World Cup bid in 2026, after going through two head coaches in the last 2 years and getting a brand new president because the old one didn't want to do his job anymore because he failed to make the World Cup, it would be the for sure darkest hour in U.S. soccer history. Now, going back to why Trump is involved in this, Trump tweeted it out, Trump's shown his support. And he did this strategically because he met with Carlos Cordero, the committee, as one would call it. Trump did this strategically. And to have the president of your country behind you in a World Cup bid and using his weight to get countries to support you in a World Cup bid is not a bad situation. So whether you want to say Trump should be involved in this or not, do whatever you want. Him supporting this thing is not a bad idea. Now, is it going against FIFA's ethics code? Probably. It's right on the line of using politics to gain power within FIFA. Even, I mean, it's kind of oxymoronic because FIFA is basically just football politics, but Trump's throwing his weight around. Trump is using who he is and what country he's a leader of to gain FIFA points and try to get the United States this World Cup bid. I'm fully supportive of Trump using his platform to get this World Cup in this country. Not only because I want the World Cup in this country, it's because Trump's not even going to be in office when this World Cup happens. So he's not doing this for his personal gain. He's doing this for the country. He's doing this so we can have a major sporting event in this country. The 2020 Olympics is in Los Angeles. The Summer Games. To have a World Cup 2 years before that with the United States, Canada, and Mexico joint hosting a bid, which the final would be in New York. That's not a bad idea. And whether you support the president or not, this is something you should get behind as well. So without further ado, that's another point. Zlatan quote of the week, though. This is fantastic. Hold on this. All right, we're back. This is Taylor Twellman on Michelle Beadle and Mike Greenberg's new show called Get Up. And Michelle wanted a gift, and Taylor provided. This is Zlatan's quote of the week.
You're impossible to shop for, so yeah. You know what? You know what? Roll the clip. This is where I got you, Beats.
And now, a gift for Michelle Beadle.
Hi, Michelle. This is your boss. I want to send a big hello to you, and I'll make you famous also. After this video, you will have a lot of viewers. You see, everybody needs me, even you. All the best. Peace and love.
So, Zlatan. Zlatan's goal of the week. Everyone needs me, even you. So, attempting to move on from Zlatan, Katie Whittem is a sideline reporter for Fox Sports. She does MLS Soccer Sunday and other big Fox events that they do involving MLS. And she was fantastic to have on. She's been on MLS Aces before. She's now on If Anyone Cares. And one of the nicest people ever in this business. And I appreciate her making the time. Now to Katie Whittem on If Anyone Cares. This portion of If Anyone Cares is sponsored by Cake Bar. Cake Bar is a locally owned and operated bakery from my hometown, Lake Charles, Louisiana. If you are looking for the perfect cake or dessert for that special occasion, this is the place to be. Cakes are made fresh and on location when you order. The desserts are one of a kind and taste as delicious as they look. But you don't need a special occasion for these tasty treats. Cake Bar is a variety of goodies to satisfy your sweet tooth every single day. From homemade cookies, cake pops, and dipped strawberries in the oh-so-good lemon bars and specialty cupcakes, there is something for everyone. With so many options of cupcake flavors, you want to come back for more. Some fan favorites have been chocolate peanut butter, lemon, red velvet, German chocolate, and the best-selling strawberry-infused champagne. Are you looking to try something new? Cake Bar has you covered with unexpected flavors like bacon cupcakes topped with real bacon. They also have gluten-free varieties of treats. And they're even serving lunch. Don't worry if you can't make it to the shop because they are now on waiter. That's right. These delectable treats can be delivered to your doorstep. I've been to Cake Bar on numerous occasions. It's my place to go when I want fresh homemade treats. They have friendly service with a personal touch that keeps me coming back time and time again. Cake Bar is open Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. and Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon. It is located multiple up across from Sam Houston High School on Highway 378. I recommend you go see them today before your favorites are gone. I guarantee you will not be disappointed. When you walk in to Cake Bar, you can't help but say, "Hello, sweet thing." Thank you, Cake Bar, for sponsoring today's show. And now, Katie Whittem. Live on the show today is a person who exemplifies professionalism and kindness in probably one of the nicest ways I've ever met through my adventures covering soccer. Katie Whittem, Fox Sports. Thanks for making time, and how are you?
Oh, thanks for having me back. I'm so excited.
Yeah, you were on MLS Aces. We did the whole The Story of Us thing, which you haven't listened to that. That's probably something you should listen to. She was fantastic, and I appreciate all the things you did for that. But I wanted to have you on my personal show. No restrictions on questions, no restriction on topics. This is just kind of open for everything.
Oh, you're making me nervous.
But most people know you. You do sideline reporting for Fox Sports for the MLS coverage. I'm interested in the other things that you do. Like, during the course of a week, what does Katie Whittem's week look like?
Well, I just finally sat down today, and the only reason I'm sitting down is because I get to talk to you today. My week is crazy, from prepping to hanging out with a lot of dogs. I'm a fur mom, so I've got two dogs of my own and a cat that are all rescue animals. And as you mentioned, I also help out at a local animal shelter close to my house, where during the week I go, and it depends on how much they need it and how much I feel like, you know, I can do it. But I run dogs, and oh, it's just crazy. I'm all over the place. But it's partially because that's my personality. I like to be in motion, moving. So if I can't play soccer anymore, I feel like I'll do the next best thing, which is be around it, cover it, and also run with a bunch of animals. So why not, right?
Do you ever get, like, tired? Is that something? Because I see, like, on your Instagram and your Twitter, you're always traveling or doing something, whether it be home or not, in the city that you live in. But, like, do you get tired?
I do. I feel like I'm perpetually tired, and I don't know how to sleep on planes yet. It's the most frustrating thing ever for me, because we have been on the – I'm an East Coast girl. We have had so many West Coast MLS games early in the season on Fox, and so I am on the red eye home every night after the game, just because I don't want to lose an entire day due to travel. But I still can't sleep on the plane, so because of that, or just in general, I'm perpetually tired. I do try to rest every now and then, but you're right, I'm so on the go.
Yeah, because you're one of the busiest persons that I think I've ever met.
Well, I guess I make it that way, so it's my own fault.
But so you volunteer at this animal shelter. You have dogs of your own. What kind of led you to helping out and doing that, those sorts of things?
Oh, man. You know, I've grown up. We've always had a dog or a couple of dogs. I've grown up around animals. And my husband jokes that I like animals and dogs more than people. John Strong was making fun of me in L.A. 2 weeks ago, because we're walking back from dinner and we were going to hit a bookstore. That's one of our things, is we always get ice cream and we always go to a bookstore in whatever road city we are at, because John and I both are big readers on the plane. Everybody says that we're nerds because we actually still buy books and read them, but it helps when you travel as much as we do. But as we're coming home from dinner, on our way to the bookstore, we've got our ice cream. We come across this dog who's just chilling outside, like a barbershop, I think. And I'm like embarrassing the heck out of John, because I'm like sitting on the ground on the cement, and this dog's like in my lap, licking my face. And he's like, "You don't even know this dog." I'm like, it doesn't matter. Look how cute he is. You know? So, I don't know. I've always really loved being around animals. I think there's something, you know, like comforting and zen about them. And I started helping, you know, my husband's great because I grew up with English bulldogs. And sadly, for the most part, you know, my parents have always gotten them from breeders. And my husband's a big advocate for, you know, helping out and rescuing an animal if you have that ability, because you're not only saving that animal, but you're saving the next one that gets to take their place at the shelter, which is so, so true. But we, when we recently moved, we were on our way to the DMV. Actually, I was in Philly covering MLS with Fox last year, and he was on the way to the DMV to switch over our license plates. And he came across a stray dog, and it was like 5 o'clock, 5:30, busy traffic, rush hour. And this dog is like dodging traffic, and he thought it got hit by a car. So he pulls over and he spends the better part of 2 hours trying to like basically lure this dog over to him. And he finally does. He can't get animal control on the phone. So he finds the nearest shelter, which happened to be just the closest one to our house. And he ended up taking the dog there. And surrendering the dog over for them to try to find their owners. Well, all the while he's like sending me pictures of this dog, and I'm like crying on a plane, like just bring her home, you know? And he's like, we don't even know who this dog is or where, like, are you kidding me? And we have this, you know, 12-year-old boxer Staffordshire Terrier Pitbull mix who is this, you know, just this old lady. And a grouchy old 17-year-old cat. And he's like, we can't just bring another dog home. And I'm, you know, unrealistic. I'm like, why not? So anyway, the dog, you know, the shelter brings in the dog. They have what's a 10-day hold for any sort of stray or dog that's found that they try to find the owner for 10 days. And they advertise and they do everything they can to find it. Well, they couldn't find the owner. So then this dog becomes a shelter dog and is officially up for adoption. And I can't stop thinking about this dog. And I'm convinced that the universe brought this dog into our life. Like, he stopped for a reason. And your reaction is his also, by the way. I'm like on the phone and he's telling me, do you know how crazy you sound? I'm like, it doesn't matter. This, we're meant to have this dog. So lo and behold, not too long after that, I go to the shelter. We end up bringing this little dog home. We've done a DNA test on her. She has everything in her, but essentially the majority is Beagle and Chihuahua. So I now have a 12-year-old boxer pit bull mix who is 70 pounds, pure muscle, but the sweetest dog ever. And now I have this little dog, Lola, who is a 20-pound Beagle Chihuahua. Oh, you can hear, they decide they want to, of course, be a part of the podcast. But, and she is, I joke, like I call her Tommy Tough Nuts, because she just thinks she's the toughest thing around town and flexes anytime somebody comes to the door. I'm like, you realize that, like, Lucy could step on you. Like, it's crazy. But because of Lola and eventually adopting her after my husband found her, I then decided to just start helping out at this shelter because it was one of the really good ones. It's a no-kill shelter. So, since I've been working there for almost a year now, we've had a couple of dogs who have been really hard to just find a home, not for their fault, just because they maybe weren't the prettiest dog. And people come in and they want like a puppy, or they want a really cute, you know, little dog. And so the bigger kind of, you know, scary looking or ugly dogs, who, by the way, are sometimes the sweetest dogs, can stick around. And so we had one that was with us for 8 months. And this shelter is great because there's no time limit. They can stay as long as possible until they. So it's just been, it's kind of like my meditation, right? And I told you that I have to always be in motion. Well, this allows me to kind of like chill out and get away from work, but I'm also doing something good because I'm just spending time with these dogs that, you know, unfortunately have to be in a cage, you know, for the majority of their day until they find their home. And so with me, we go trail running and we sit outside in the sun, and, you know, we're, if I can't run anymore that day, you know, there was one John always also makes fun of me because I'm like, oh, I only did 5 miles today. Listen, like I am not a long distance runner by any means. And and I am running 5 to 7, sometimes more, depending upon the looks I get. If somebody really needs a run, they talk me into it. I can't say no. But today I only did about 5, but my last one was just, we ended up just walking for about a mile because he just wanted to be outside. This guy, Moose, he's an American bulldog who, oh man, he is like, you would love him, Riley. He's like the sweetest. He's a big lug, but he thinks he's like 20 pounds and he'll sit on your lap and he'll just look, and he's taller than you when he sits on you. And he looks at you like, oh, you're holding me. Thank you. You know, just so ridiculous. But, he's one of my favorites right now. He came to the shelter completely bald due to a skin infection. He also had to have eye surgery and he had an ear infection and something else was going on with him when he first came to us. And now he's been with us since February and he has a full coat of hair. He is, I call him, you know, whenever we're together, because he just wiggles his whole body and he's like probably 70 to 80 pounds. But this, the sweetest dog ever, just the sweetest.
How can people help, you know, around with their local shelters, and how can people help bring these animals to a home so they don't have to be locked in a cage?
Well, you know, I mean, just do what you can. So for me, I'm fortunate that I have like a weird schedule, right? So my full-time job, my real job, I travel sometimes Thursday to Monday. Usually it's Friday to Monday. So my weekends are like, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursdays, or Monday nights if I'm getting home on a red eye. So my weekends, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursdays, I spend prepping for my next game, but also like I'm an active person, so I want to still work out. So what was perfect for me was I signed up to be a volunteer at the shelter thinking I was just going to walk dogs. And then I realized these guys need, they do a great job of getting them the exercise that they can, but some of them are high energy dogs. And then you put them in a cage. So a high energy dog in a cage is like you after you drink a couple cans of Mountain Dew or any energy drinks, right? So what I can do is on my quote unquote weekends, I go and I just run them. And even if it's just, I take one dog for a 2 mile run. Well, it's 2 more miles than they would have got if I wouldn't have showed up. And for me, I hate running. I don't run to just run. So like, you know, for me running these dogs, I have a running buddy and they always say working out with a friend, they hold you accountable, right? Well, these dogs truly hold me accountable and I end up running way more than I want to because they look at me like, oh, we're going to go for a run today. But you know, helping out is just doing what you can. I mean, I work with so many mid 60s to 70 year old volunteers who clearly can't go for a run like I do, but they're out walking the dogs and it's been great for them because it gets them in better shape and just being around animals, right? Don't they just lift your mood, your spirit, but you're doing the same thing for them. So whether it's, you know, we have volunteers that come in and volunteer for an hour, 1 hour a month. And you may think like, well, what's the point, right? You're only there for an hour every month. It's another hour that the shelter needs from somebody who's willing to help out. And even if you know, we have people come in and do the laundry, right? Because we go through so much laundry in terms of towels and blankets and toys for the dogs and cats we have at our shelter. So little things like that, feeding them, giving them water. I mean, you don't even have to physically take them out. If you're not a physically active person or you can't do something like that, you can come in and do laundry. You can feed them. You can just brush them, hang out with them for a little bit. But I think just being aware. And then also, like, I've tried to be a little bit more social media savvy, which I feel like is an oxymoron when it comes to me because I'm still trying to figure out how to work my computer. I know it's 2018. I have issues. I'm trying.
And you also work for a media company. That's
I know. Don't tell them. Fox tells me all the time I need to do better at Twitter and Instagram. I'm on Instagram now. Like, so I'm trying to do better at these things, but just, you know, putting them out there a little bit more and getting people to just realize shelter dogs are not all pit bulls. They're not all mutts. We have so many, you know, we have two full blooded beagles in our shelter right now. We had a 100% Shih Tzu that was the cutest thing ever at our shelter. We had a couple Jack Russell Terriers. So even if you are, you know, like my parents, they love bulldogs. They want English bulldogs. There are rescue organizations that have bulldogs that you could rescue from, you know, or so not all shelters are just pit bulls and mixed breeds and things like that. Like we have a black lab right now also. So it's like, depending upon what you want, you never know, your local shelter could have it. And these are the animals that really, really need you.
And I, whole new respect for you.
Well, thank you. And you know what, the only other thing I'll say is, and you know, I've been fortunate where, you know, I've grown up in a house that, you know, my parents taught me early on how to treat animals, and how you treat them goes a long way to how they act as an animal. But I will say that, rescue dogs, if you go and adopt an animal, they know that you save them, and their temperament and their loyalty and personality. And sometimes you get a dog that has been through a situation that for you, you know, it requires a little bit of work on your end. I ran with this dog named Hobby today, who's this male. He has a pit bull face, but he has almost like a wiener dog body. He is the goofiest looking dog, if you can imagine that. But he is scared to death of everything, which breaks my heart. So a bicycle drove by us while we were running today. He about threw me and himself off the trail into the creek because he was so scared of the bike. And then we passed just a guy, an older guy walking, scared to death of this guy. And so for him, you know, and I don't have much information on what happened to him in the past before he came to us, but like my job right now is just trying to like help socialize him and make him understand that not all people are bad. So, you know, you may come across a dog that needs a little bit of work, but the thing is, by the end of my run with Hobby today, I spent maybe 40 minutes with him running and then just hanging out with him. He was sitting in my lap. He wasn't shying away of people that were walking by. And so it's like just seeing the progression that they make. But then the loyalty and the fact that they know that you saved them, it's pretty incredible.
I wish I knew someone who was passionate, just like this amount of passion about a certain topic and a certain issue.
I wish
I knew someone else that was passionate about something. It's like, this is 16 minutes in and we haven't switched topics yet.
I know, and I haven't stopped talking. I need to stop, please. Sorry, I'm rambling.
No, it's kind of both our jobs to talk. It's kind of like in the job That's description.
True. That is, yes,
speaking
right.
to a microphone. And don't be bad at it. So, yeah, please, please, please get out and help your local animal shelters. Don't shop, adopt. I believe it's the hashtag you can use all the places. Yep. But don't just hashtag it. Actually do it. Don't be one of those people on Twitter.
And even if you're not in a place to adopt a dog, like a lot of, we need fosters. And sometimes it's just you fostering a dog. So it's like you can pretend to have a dog, but you don't have to keep them that long. Like we have the need for, you know, foster homes for dogs and cats. When we get puppies have to go to they can't stay away. So they have to go until they can get old enough where they can have their spay and neuter surgeries, get their shots and all those things. So, you know, we just had 8 little pit bull mix puppies come in who, by the way, are the cutest puppies and so good. So they went and stayed with homes. Some were there up to 2 weeks. Some were only there about a week. But even doing something like that, you know, and it doesn't even have to be a puppy. Sometimes we get dogs in who unfortunately have heartworm. And by the way, heartworm, the way a dog or a cat gets heartworm disease, they're bit by a mosquito that carries it. So it's not even like, oh, they're a dirty dog or anything like that. Like if your dog is outside, if you're, you know, how often you get bit by a mosquito, right? If your dog gets bit by a mosquito and you are not doing the monthly $10 protection, it then puts your dog at a risk where, you know, they can die because of this essentially. So, and it's a really, really expensive, you know, a procedure treatment course that they have to go on. But a dog that comes in that's heartworm positive has to go through for a couple of months, a series of shots and things like that. And this is a dog in particular that if you're heartworm positive, you really cannot have any activity. So it's got to be, you know, super zen, very like short. You go outside to go to the bathroom and you're back inside laying down, just because of everything they kind of go through with that. So we're always looking for fosters. We've had a couple heartworm positive dogs lately who, by the way, are the sweetest. So even fostering a dog is a great way that you can help your local shelter.
Yeah, if you don't think having a dog would be like such a great idea, foster one, try it out. It's like a trial period, basically.
Yeah.
It helps you make a decision on whether you want to get a dog or not, and it helps out the animal because you know, they can't stay at the shelter during that time period. So get involved, do your part, and I'll come and pet your dog when you get one. So moving on. You mentioned this. You travel a lot. I want to hear your best travel story.
Oh, like craziest? What do you mean best?
Craziest to the point where it's not believable, if you have one of those. Because I imagine, because you travel so much, I imagine you probably have at least one.
Yeah. Usually, I mean, my crazy travel stories involve like just flight delays and things like that. And I'm trying to remember exactly what happened last year, but I had like 3 or 4 straight weeks where, so with Fox, you know, our games are on Sundays. So all day Saturday is a work day where we start, you know, we meet up at 9 a.m. We head straight to the home team's training facility. We watch full training. We sit down and do one-on-one interviews with coach and 3 players. We grab lunch quickly, then we go meet with the visiting team, do the same thing. So it's a super, super long day. So usually if it's not, usually I travel in on a Friday. We work all day Saturday, game Sunday. So, but it's important that you're there early Saturday. So I had a couple moments where, sorry, see, these dogs are so ornery. she's crying because she can't find her ball. It's like, you think they might be easier than kids, but every now and then. So I had 3 or 4 straight weeks where I ended up getting in really late and almost missing or walking in during the middle of our actual player and coach interviews. And the guys, you know, I work with Stu Holden. I mean, he gives everybody crap, right? So does John. I mean, Shaw Brown, our producer, they always let me have it. Well, one weekend, and this was maybe the 3rd straight week where I was having some sort of delay. I'm on my way out to, I think it was Portland, and my flight's delayed and it's delayed again. And I'm, you know, and I end up, I think I was flying in Saturday morning and I was thinking I'll be fine because of the time change, right? I gain 3 hours going out to Portland. Well, my flight gets delayed a bunch. We get on the flight. We can't take off because of mechanical issues. So we're delayed again. So then we finally take off. Well, then something's wrong. So they have to do like an emergency landing. Okay. So then we take off again. This is the same trip, by the way. We get almost to Minnesota and there's a medical emergency on board. So they have to make another emergency landing. And of course, at this point, you know, when you travel so much, you're less irritated when it comes to delays and things because you're used to it. Right. But everybody on the plane, and when it's a medical emergency for somebody and you have to land, so the medics come on board to get them off, you know, you cannot be upset at that at all. But at this point, it's like, for me, okay, you know, something happens the night before, then we've got all these delays, then we make one emergency landing, then we make the second, and I, the guys are not believing me at this point. Like I'm sending them a text going, can you just record these interviews for me? I'm really sorry. I promise I'm going to be there at some point. And they're like, you're lying. You're like, are you at the beach? Are you like enjoying yourself somewhere? And I'm like, no, I'm sitting on the tarmac in Minnesota somewhere while this poor lady, you know? And so I think I ended up getting there in time for lunch, which then I'm the type of girl that never misses a meal. That's also why I run 5 miles so I can have my burger and fries. And so then they're making fun of me because they're like, oh yeah, you timed it perfectly, right? You miss all the meetings. You don't have to do any work. You just swoop in for lunch. But I think my worst crazy travel stories are, was that day in particular, but also just, I mean, the amount of crazy, you know, you're delayed for certain random reasons, right? Ugh. So my life, I spend it either in the sky, in an airport, or in a stadium. It's nuts.
Two emergency landings on the same.
It's, yes.
It's just funny. Yeah.
And they thought I was lying. Like, and I'm like, I mean, I ended up maybe even pretend. I was like, Stu, I will Skype you from this plane right now. And they were like, no. I'm like, no, we're going to FaceTime. We're going to do whatever it is that we need to do, because clearly you guys aren't believing me, you know? And at that point, then I realized that they're just giving me a hard time to give me a hard time, but still, of course. And it only happens to me, you know, they all never have travel issues.
So. No, never. It's all you're like anyone in any situation. It's only happening to you at that moment.
Yes. Oh yeah, of course.
And it's the rough one. But since you travel so much, I want to help some people out. I've been on an airplane a few times this past year, and to new flyers, to maybe people first time or maybe they're about to be traveling a lot more frequently. What are some tips, Katie Whittem's tips to new flyers? On how not to be bad at flying.
Not to be bad flyers?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I don't know. That's tough, right? So I have, like, things to be efficient, but I also have, like, Katie's personal pet peeves when you're on a plane. So I don't know what you want.
I want both. Just give me both.
You want both. Okay, ways to be efficient. I mean, always have your boarding pass and your ID out when you're in the security line. I don't care how far back you are. You know you're going to get there eventually. So don't be that person that holds up the line.
I feel like that's a pet peeve as well.
Because you got to search to get your ID out or anything like that. And then when you're going through the line, you know, I do TSA pre-check. So I don't have to take off my shoes. But if you know, depending upon if you've got to take off your shoes or whatnot, I mean, dress appropriately, right? So you got the sandals, you can slide off, so it's easy. Got your liquids and your laptop out, so you can zip on through that line. But let's see, what else?
Hold on. These all sound like pet peeves. I'm not sure this is efficiency.
Well, yeah, you're right. What is the difference? I will say, so my flight out to LA this past weekend for the LAFC Seattle game, it's, you know, 5 something in the morning and I'm boarding my flight, and I look over and one of my husband's good friends is like standing next to me in line to get on board, and I'm like, what is going on? So then we get on the plane. It's very random, right? Clearly I'm looking my best because it's 5 in the morning. He like didn't recognize me due to my, you know, my yoga pants, baseball cap, no makeup type appearance. So, but we get on the flight and of course he's sitting in front of me and we both have window seats, and this is, you know, a nonstop out to LA, to LAX. So it's a long flight. And I jokingly, but also not jokingly, say to him, I don't care if it's you sitting in front of me, you better not put that seat down on me. Otherwise I'm going to judge you. And he turns around, he goes, oh my gosh, that's the worst, isn't it? So a pet peeve of mine, and it just depends upon the flight and, or like, you know, and how, kind of how you go about it. I'm totally okay with you putting your seat back. Although I will not, and I never, and will never in the future ever put my seat back on a plane. I think the reasoning behind this, or the logic for me, is I found out it's actually a safety hazard. So if something were to happen during that flight where you hit a massive amount of, you know, turbulence, or if you're going down, whatever may be happening during that flight, and you have your seat back, you're actually endangering the person behind you, which is crazy, right? Like, you wouldn't necessarily think that. But, yeah, it's like a major danger to them. But also, you have no space. When the person puts their seat back, they're basically, like, laying in your lap. And I was blessed with no midsection and all extremities. So the guys joke, the wingspan is huge. I should have been a basketball player. But also, my legs are like really long. So when somebody's like laying on me in front of me, I can't move my legs. I can't stretch out. And I played soccer in college, so I've got an old back injury and my knees hurt. And I run 5 miles a day. So yes, pet peeve number one for me is probably, like, you know, when somebody drops their seat back on you the minute you get on the plane and they're fully reclined and came and put your water bottle in. And Oh, that's probably the worst. And then the other thing is if I don't, I don't know why, because I fly all the time, but the more I fly, the more I want to be able to see out the window just to make sure that we're level, right? Like we're not upside down. We're not going down.
Wait, wouldn't you be able to tell that?
Well, you would think, right? But like, so I need to have my window open just a little bit. So those random moments where I get upgraded and I don't get a window seat, and then the person immediately shuts the window, and I'm like slightly panicking, because I'm like, I just need to be able to see the sky and not the ground, right? Like I need to be able to make sure that I still see sky. So if you put the window all the way down, that makes me sweat a little bit. And so does the seat reclining. But other than that, I mean, I'm another tip from me is make sure you have a pair of headphones. If you somehow forget, well, it's your own fault, because there will be children on your flight who may cry. And listen, sometimes if a flight's really, really long, I also want to cry. So I'm never judging them for crying, but I also have a pair of headphones. And if you don't have your headphones, all flight attendants have headphones that they can give you. So just ask. That's my tip.
One thing I learned is I flew to Indianapolis from Houston, and surprisingly enough, it wasn't that long a flight. But my phone, like I updated my phone to iOS 11, and the whole Apple thing where like the battery just like got fried and it died after 5 minutes of being on 100%. Well, my phone was in that state, so I had my phone for two of the three flights. And that last flight was the longest. And just sitting there and not having headphones, not be able to like occupy myself. I didn't bring a book because I've been out of it for a while, and it was just the worst. So tip for me, obviously I don't fly as much as Katie because I don't fly every single weekend, but bring a backup plan
and always have snacks. They make fun of me for always having snacks, but I always have granola bars, nuts, like things that you can always take on, because if you are like me and you have a flight that gets delayed and then you have an emergency landing due to like mechanical issues, and then you have an emergency landing due to a medical issue, you don't know how long you're going to be up there, right?
You're right.
So, and I get hangry. I already told you I like burgers, so yeah, I can't always bring a burger on as a snack. So snacks and a backup plan. You are right on with that.
Backup plan, because like I was just sitting on a flight and I couldn't sleep, because no one can ever sleep. I don't understand how people sleep on a plane.
That's me neither.
It's very loud. I'm worried about like.
You're worried about staying upright too, aren't you? You laughed at me, but you thought about it.
I thought about it. Like I want to make sure we're good. I want to make sure this is flying how it's supposed to, because I've heard too many stories. And then airplanes, it doesn't make any logical sense why airplanes or ships do the things that they do.
Right.
Because the ship is huge, right? And it's on water, and theoretically it should sink. Airplanes are very large things flying through the air. They shouldn't be in the air because they're very large and very heavy. So I just want to make sure we're good. I trust the pilot and everything like that, but it's good. It's fine.
Yep.
But just those are some tips for people flying. Especially when you're going from, like, you went from Columbus to Los Angeles straight. That's a long flight.
It's not too bad. It's like 4.5 hours, so it could be worse.
It could be a lot worse, but 4.5 hours is pretty long for.
Yeah. The flight from New York to LA, I believe, is 6 hours. I did that week one, and I still couldn't understand. We were like 4.5 hours in, and I'm like, why aren't we landing? What is going on? Like, did we not hit the gas when we took off? I'm like really confused. So that is a really long flight.
And also, don't be too disoriented by time change. Time change is something that absolutely destroyed me by, like, it was only a 1 hour switch, and it just threw off my entire trip.
A 1 hour switch threw you off? Are you serious?
I've never gone more than 2 hours though. Like, my farthest trip is like Vegas, and I was like 2 hours behind. It was a wild situation. But
yeah,
how do you deal with it? How do you like
the time change?
Yeah, like going from New York to Los Angeles.
I'm still trying to figure that out. I mean, my method, because I'm never anywhere like that long. So, you know, like this past weekend, I fly into LA. It's a 3-hour time difference for me. So we're doing, and I'm only there. Okay. So I fly in Friday. I'm there Saturday, Sunday, and I'm flying back late Sunday night, landing, you know, really early in the morning Monday. So I'm kind of only there 2.5 days. So I try really hard to stay on East Coast time, but it never works out. So essentially when I'm landing Monday morning, coming back from the West Coast, that's when I'm on West Coast time. So I'm still working on it, but I am totally the girl in meetings on Saturday night. You know, we met with Seattle at 7 p.m. at their hotel in L.A. this past Saturday. And I'm sitting down with Brian Schmetzer, and he looks at me in the middle of me yawning. Well, first off, 7 p.m. is 10 p.m. my time. And yes, I do stay up later than 10 p.m., but I haven't had dinner. It's been a long day. And he looks at me and he goes, I'm sorry, am I boring you? And I'm like, yes, Schmetz, tell me something good or what. And he starts laughing. I'm like, no, the time change is killing me. So I'm the girl that's up at 5 a.m. in L.A. because it's really 8 a.m. my time, and, you know, tired by 7 because it's 10. And I don't know. I'm still trying to figure that out. I can't decide if just powering through day one and getting yourself regulated then is the way to go, or just staying on your own time. So when you get back, you can just kind of continue to power through the week. So I haven't mastered it.
Yeah. I don't think anyone truly masters it, but I mean, it's just kind of something you have to kind of roll with. And you kind of made me feel bad about the 1 hour thing. Cause it just completely wrecked my entire, like, cause I had my watch set
when you said 1 hour bothered you.
Cause like Louisiana Central Time, Indianapolis is Eastern time.
Eastern.
Yeah, right. And my watch is still set to Central Time. Like, I'm only going to be there for 2.5 days. I kind of went with the same mentality you do, and like 1 hour was a huge thing for me, especially since I don't travel out of my own time zone that often. So
you know what's interesting, and a lot of people are like, oh, either they dismiss it altogether or they just don't really consider it. But like, you know, when you think about it, I have, what's my next game? My next game in LA, my next LAFC game on Fox is in 2 weeks. We are in Toronto this weekend, and then, or I'm sorry, midweek of next week. And then the following weekend, we have LAFC against NYCFC.
That's a big
and
one.
You know, they're making fun of me because I'm yawning at 7 p.m. Well, these guys from New York City are Eastern time zone guys. And when we kick, and I'd have to go back and look, I think it's a 6 p.m. kick, which is really an 8 p.m. kick for them. I mean, think about it. Like, it's talked a lot about in college football, right? About them battling the time change during playoffs and things like that, or going and playing somewhere preseason or early on in the season where, you know, week one, week two, and they do these crazy non-conference games. But the time zone really does. I mean, as an athlete, you have to change your whole routine. So we're all, you and I are doing is traveling and then talking into a microphone, and we're struggling, right? Like, can you imagine actually having to be like, you know, physically active and playing your best game ever?
Oh, yeah,
and
it's
tired.
A rough one. Yeah. And that's the biggest thing with this, the complaint in all sports in this country, not just MLS, but you're like Bastian Schweinsteiger, Zlatan, and all these guys have come over and just complained about travel. But I mean, there's nothing you can do. This country is very, very large. You don't have that problem. You can go 45 minutes on a train in England and be all the way across the country. It's like, America has a very unique problem with the travel. So it's not something you can get around. It's something you can try to regulate and do your best to play like 3 West Coast games in a row, or try to schedule it where you don't have to go East Coast, West Coast, East Coast, West Coast. But
right.
Obviously,
I remember after Ziggy took over the LA Galaxy last year, they maybe just had 2 in a row. You remember they had that stinker down in Atlanta where, what was it, 4-0 or 5-0?
It was bad.
Was the result. and then after that, they were going to Kansas City, and they didn't even go home. It was funny because I was in the middle of, I work college football during the fall. So I come in late to MLS September, October, and November, where I do a lot of my prep during the week and we'll do, you know, sit downs or conference calls to make up for missing those Saturday meetings. And it was funny, they had that game in Atlanta and then they stayed in Atlanta, but I was actually flying into Atlanta to call a women's college soccer game off the monitors out of an Atlanta studio. And so I did that game. And then when I was done, I Ubered over to the team hotel and sat down and met with Ziggy because we were doing the LA Galaxy Kansas City game in a couple of days. But I had to go from women's college soccer back to Charlotte, North Carolina to do college football. And then from Charlotte, I finally got out to Kansas City. And so I ended up doing women's college soccer, then going over and sitting down with Ziggy and meeting with the Galaxy people in Atlanta. And then I went and did college football while they went to Kansas City and met with the rest of the Fox crew. And then I saw them on Sunday for the game against Kansas City. So, but that's one way to do it. Like, they just came over early and they stayed there the whole time. So, you know, at the end of it, and you know, Kansas City Central Time, right? I think we gained an hour over there. So, but still, they must not feel like you do. 1 hour affects them.
Oh, come on. No, okay. I'm not gonna live it down.
I'm sorry.
It's fine. Yeah.
But yeah, it's crazy sometimes. The travel is, it's a grind.
And I go back to asking you again, do you get tired? Because that's going all around the country like that, then like being in Atlanta and the off chance that LA is still in Atlanta and just going from there, doing all this.
Yeah, that was a one of a kind, and that worked out so nicely for me. But yes, I totally get tired. I mean, I think when you, it's like anything, like when you finally stop moving, you take a deep breath and your adrenaline stops and you're like, oh man. So, you know, for me, it's usually when I sit down on the plane, you know, then I can like finally take that deep breath. And, you know, this past weekend being in Los Angeles for LAFC's home opener with Bank of California, it was quite honestly kind of a stinker of a game. Like, it wasn't the best, you know, the prettiest soccer I've ever seen played. But that 92nd minute goal from Lamont Simon it was ridiculous, and the reaction on the sideline might have been even better than Simon's goal, which was tremendous. But it's like I'm all revved up from that, and then I get to the airport and we're delayed a little bit, and then I get on the flight and I finally can, you know, relax, and then I'm worried whether or not we're gonna make it, right? Because I'm not flying this plane, so I'm tired but I can't sleep. It's one of those.
Yeah.
Do you have any advice for me? What should I do?
To sleep on a plane?
Yeah, red eye help.
I can't. Like, I haven't slept on a plane ever in my life. I slept on a train once, if that helps. I just kind of like,
I've never really gone by train, other than, you know, the trains that take you, like, when you're in Atlanta's airport and you have to ride the train to get to your next, get to the next concourse. Like,
yeah,
I've never taken a train as a mode of transportation.
I did one of those, but I took a train from my hometown, Lake Charles, Louisiana, and all the way to New Orleans, and that took 6 hours.
Oh, wow. How was that? Was it glamorous?
It was, like the movies?
Because it seems like it could be.
It was cool, because we went over a bunch of different lakes down here, and then we went over Lake Pontchartrain, the Crescent Lake, like the crescent-shaped lake that's above New Orleans. That's why it's called the Crescent City. That was cool. We had to stop 7 times, though, because it was a passenger train, so we just kept it, you know, kept stopping at these places. Like,
yeah.
A drive from Lake Charles to New Orleans is 3 hours, and it took 6 hours by train.
Gotcha.
So, like, that was kind of frustrating, but I always wanted to ride on a train, so...
Yeah. And also the amount of work, I mean, when you're driving, yeah, that's great. You're in control. You're driving. You can get there faster, but you can't do anything other than, you know, if you've got your Bluetooth, you can make some phone calls. But I have to think this day and age, like plane or trains have Wi-Fi, right? Like, you could probably get a lot of work done.
Yeah, it was great. It was great.
And you don't have to worry about anything, right? When they stop, if it's a passenger train, and you make those 7 stops, is there enough time that you can actually get off and like see anything? Or is it like it stops for 5 minutes and then it goes again?
It only stopped for 15, 20 minutes.
Oh.
So, I mean, and the places we stopped weren't that luxurious. Like, we stopped in Lafayette, Louisiana, and New Iberia. So it wasn't like we're stopping in Baton Rouge and let's go go hang out at LSU for an hour and a half. Then, like, we didn't stop at the most glamorous places.
Gotcha. Along this,
you know, it's just Louisiana. It's not Columbus.
Oh, yes. Columbus is hopping. That's for sure.
But, you've mentioned this thing multiple times. I want to go back to it because you say only 5 miles you run and only run every, like, what do you say? Three times a week, roughly.
I run the dogs 3 times a week, and then I always get a workout in either game day or if I'm lucky, sometimes I get, you know, a workout in the day I travel and get to the hotel. And then I'll usually do like a game day run in the morning just because it kind of helps like clear my mind. But those are lighter runs. So like this past weekend, and I'm laughing because I ran to breakfast because I was meeting Larry Tiscornia, who is the head of the director of broadcasting with Major League Soccer. Maybe he's the VP. I probably got his title wrong. Larry, I'm sorry if you're listening. But I ran to breakfast and I met him and had breakfast, and then I ran home, and it was telling me how crazy I was because he's like, you just ate all this breakfast and now you're gonna run back? Like, you should just Uber. And I'm like, no, that defeats the point. Like, I'm getting my game day run in, but I'm also eating. Like, this is perfect. So see, I'm rambling again. So how many times do I run a week? I run at least 4 times. I try to run like 5 times if I can.
Okay. I'm 17 years old. I am like not at the peak of my physical athleticism and ability, but I'm close. When I played soccer in high school, and I say high school, like when I played in high school, I'm still in high school. But when I played, I ran 2 miles a day. And that was just unfathomable to me to run 5. Like, I couldn't, like, 2 was so hard. But hear you run 5.
Running, yeah.
Like, it's insane. And I understand you have the motivation of the dogs and you don't want to disappoint them because they give you these looks.
They physically propel me because I wear a running leash. So it's like a belt that the leash then hooks onto this belt that I can keep like my phone. I can keep, you know, potty bags and treats and things like that in. So when we're running, if I'm running a super high energy dog that essentially like when we get going, he's like shot out of a cannon. I'm just making sure my legs are working. He's pretty much pulling me. So, or if, you know, today's 5 mile run, I only had one of those and he was shot out of a cannon for only maybe not even a half mile. And then after that, he was like, holy crap, we're still running. So he slowed down and then started running next to me. But for the most part, it's like, I don't know. I mean, like running by myself, like you just described, like going out and running 2 miles. I think that's really hard.
It's incredibly hard.
Yeah, it really is because, yeah, you're in your mind, you're like, why am I doing this? Why am I running? This is stupid, right? What am I doing this for? But for me, I'm not kidding. It's so much easier when you're running a dog because you're doing it for them, right? And then also sometimes you're lucky enough that you get one that physically propels you forward. So it's like, oh, this is easy. I don't even really... I mean, I'm moving my legs, but they're like pulling me. They're dragging me most of the way. So
I guess my problem was I only played 10 games my whole entire high school career because of injury. Like, I was constantly getting hurt. I ruptured my Achilles. I broke my heel. I dislocated my shoulder. Like, I had, and I broke my heel in January, but in that. I'll tell the story. But I ruptured my Achilles that October. Then I came back, I rushed back, and I my foot was not ready to go. Then I broke my heel that January, my second game back.
Oh my gosh. How do you break your heel? All
right, so this is what happened. All right, so we're playing. I had lost my starting position because I'd been out. The guy had come in and played well. He had scored a few goals. So I'm a forward by trade. You know, naturally, I got the hair and everything, so it just kind of worked out.
the hair totally is a part of that. You're right. Was it? You know, I feel like it's similar to like Joseph Martinez's hair, except maybe not the same color right now.
It's my natural color.
Yeah,
it's natural color. It's a little bit wavy. It looks like a tsunami. So I come back. I'm playing defensive midfield for some reason, I've never played it's a very tough switch. I've never played defensive midfield.
Did you hate it?
I hated it so much. I hated it a lot, and I was playing on turf, which was awful because I'm a soccer player, so I prefer natural grass because turf is slippery and it hurts and whatever. So I'm playing the number six, and I was defending this guy, and I'd poke the ball out of play. Well, he's a foreign exchange student from Brazil, so like he's a wing back. So he's like big and he's fast and he's pacey, but he's also like 6'2". So I'd poked it out. I left my foot there and he followed through right in my heel. And like these, you know, soccer cleats are not exactly the thickest things ever. So I kept playing. Like I played 50 minutes that game and ended up having to be subbed out because I was physically in pain. I could not walk anymore. So I subbed out. I came off. I'm like, I think I broke something in my foot because like I just felt it, the intense, sharp, dull pain of like I think something's wrong. So I end up going to hospital. I go to the hospital that night, and there's a crack in my heel, like a crack like halfway up into my heel, and then I was in a cast for 6 weeks. And I was in a walking boot for I think another 4 weeks after that.
Oh my gosh, that sounds atrocious.
And I was on codeine for a solid, I was on codeine for a while. Because that's like your heel. You need your heel for every aspect of like moving. So I got one of those little fun scooters they put you
on. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, so we were racing in the hallways at school. It was the greatest thing.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Well, I'm sorry you had to go through that. That's my worst nightmare.
Did you have any major injuries? Because this is another place I want to go down. I want to tell the story because you told me this on MLS Aces. You said that you had a full ride scholarship to play softball at a D1 school. Is that right?
I did not have a full ride. I had a partial scholarship, athletic scholarship, because sadly, back in those days, they didn't give as many. There weren't a lot, or there weren't as many rules, or maybe they weren't as regulated as what they are now in terms of what you give to the guys and what you give to the girls. So I had a partial scholarship, athletic scholarship, to go play softball at two different D1 softball schools. Yeah.
Okay.
And I went and played D3 soccer instead.
Yeah, you went and played D3 soccer where you had to pay to go to school. Like, full. Oh, yeah. Like, you had to pay for your entire school.
Oh, yeah.
So that's another
thing. My parents loved me.
That's another thing. So I just want to know what led you to that decision. What made you think that was a good idea? And I mean, I guess it turned out fine.
You made it through. It led me to where I am today, I guess. It's simple for me. Like, I am the middle child of three. I have an older brother and a younger sister. My brother played every sport imaginable. My parents were still kind of the mindset that girls didn't really play sports. Girls did like dance classes and things like that. And so, I am fortunate. I didn't have any major, I hurt my back pretty good my junior year in college that I still pay for because I was a kid like you, thought you were invincible, played through the pain, rushed back too early is what you did, right? Yeah. I just played through the pain. And so I now still have back issues, you know, I won't tell you how long I've been out of college because that makes me sad, but a long time out of college, I'm still dealing with a back injury that I suffered and played through my junior year in college, which is forever ago. But
Katie, don't worry about the whole college, how long you've been out of college thing. I see you on every TV on every week and you look fantastic.
Age is just a number, right? That's what I keep telling you. But I had to fight. I like fought and clawed my way into athletics with my parents. And the first thing they let me play was softball. And I was lucky that I'm naturally athletic and that I'm pretty coordinated and I'm a quick learner and I want to learn. And I was always pretty coachable. So for me, it was pretty easy to pick up things and be able to do them. And then how hard I worked determined how well I could do them. So I was always really, really good at softball. And I played softball from, you know, the time I was young. And it was easy for me. Soccer, I actually did not start playing. I mentioned to you, I kind of got hooked by it because, again, my parents weren't letting me play. So I would go and I would watch my best friend play in, you know, and on her club team. And so I would sit on the sideline and cheer her on with her parents and watch her play. And so I didn't start playing soccer until really late. I just happened to be in a situation where I knew I wanted to be a broadcaster. And so for me, the schools came down to who had a pretty good broadcasting program and communications. And I'm still surprised that I actually was thinking this far in advance when I was in high school, but it was important for me, or I knew I wanted to not only go to a good broadcasting school, but I needed to be relatively close to a big city, because that's where you have a better shot at having better internships, but also a lot more internships. And then the other part of it for me was, I had a softball coach in high school who was a nice guy, knew baseball really well, but he was only the high school softball coach because he was waiting for the high school baseball job to open up. So it kind of was one of those situations where at the end of my high school softball career, I was just kind of burnt out. Like, I didn't have a coach that was that passionate about it. It was more a pain. And so I was tired of playing and I didn't really want to play softball anymore. And I'd been playing high school soccer and I had a high school soccer coach that was the complete opposite. He moved to this small, tiny little town in Ohio where I grew up from Colorado. He came in from coaching at one of the major universities in Colorado. I'd have to go back and look to figure out which one it was. But he left there to come coach this tiny high school women's soccer program, you know. And then he was at Mount Union College and teaching as a professor. And this guy loved the game. He wanted to help everybody and he wanted to grow the game. And so for me, it was like, it was burnout on softball and I loved soccer. And I just wanted to still be athletically active in college, but I was going there for broadcasting. So I ended up going to this Division III school where I had to pay an obscene amount of money because it's a private school and I had no athletic scholarships because they don't give them. So my parents are like, really? Seriously, Katie? But I had the time of my life. You know, I went there. I played 4 years of college soccer. I was the captain. We won our league. We went into the NCAAs. We had a blast. But on top of that, you know, you're really there for your career, right? So I ended up, I had access to some really great internships that I pursued and was able to get a hold of. And then I worked my butt off at those internships to turn a couple of them into part-time jobs. And then, but I also found out what I didn't want to do. So I thought I wanted to be the next Diane Sawyer on the news. And then I interned in news and I was like, you're going to make me do what? I'm going to go interview somebody after a shooting happens, or I'm going to go to I'm going to go to the courthouse and talk about politics. Like, I don't, that sounds really boring and that sounds really terrible. Like, I don't want to do that. And so I was lucky that, you know, going to the school I went to, playing soccer there, allowed me the opportunity to continue with the sport that I eventually ended up starting to cover when I decided, okay, I'm not going to do news anymore. I'm going to focus on sports. And now, you know, I feel like I've come full circle because I've covered so many different sports and I've jumped into different realms in the sports broadcasting world. And yet I've come back to MLS and soccer, which is really where I kind of got started with my broadcasting career. And now I'm having a ball doing all of this. So it's weird how it works out.
I'm glad it worked out because, I mean,
me too.
It's pretty great to see such a talented group together at Fox. You know, John, Stu in the booth, sometimes Lexi, he was there last week. You know, Rob, whether it be at the studio or in stadium, then you on the sideline. It's just a great group together. And I guess it's because you're here, is you're America's sideline reporter. Because like ESPN is very, very, they've had a lot recently. You've been the mainstay and the constant. So you're America's sideline reporter.
Well, I don't know. That's like a heavy title.
You could put that in your Twitter bio. You're welcome.
Okay. Okay. I will do that.
But appreciate you making time for the show. I appreciate you as always. This was fantastic. I loved it.
Thank you so much. I had a blast. So, yeah. And I wasn't as nervous. You made me nervous saying we're going to talk about everything, but this was great. Well, it's like a therapy session for me. Thank you.
Talk about everything. I mean, it's kind of your life, so you're kind of an expert in it.
Oh, well, I don't know if I'm an expert at anything, but I'm trying and I'm working hard. And eventually I figure it out. I do things the hard way, but eventually I figure it out.
Yeah. But as always, you've gone through one of these before, but we can't let you go on this show without going through the lightning round.
Rip it, rapid fire. That's what you're going to make me do. I knew it. I knew I wasn't going to be able to get out of this.
You should get nervous now. Like, this is the moment.
I told you I'm terrible at this.
I know, and that's what's funny. So, it's great radio, Katie. I'm in this for the content.
Okay.
You should know that better than anyone. All right. So, I'm going to start this off with a fun one. If you could have a dinner party with three famous people, living or dead, who would they be?
If I could have a dinner party with three famous people, living or dead. I feel like we did this one before on your other podcast, didn't we? I'm trying to remember what I said. But I can't cheat, right? Well, I just read a book about Nora Ephron, so I'll go her. And I'm a big fan of Abigail Adams. And then my other one has to be Zlatan Ibrahimovic, because he's such a character. And I want to know if he would be a character at dinner, or if this is like when the camera's rolling and he knows people are watching, he's the character. I want to know what he's like when you're just at dinner. I think that he might be exactly like what we see, which is fantastic, right?
He would say you're welcome for him showing up.
He probably would. He probably would. And that would be tremendous.
Who's your favorite athlete?
Oh, favorite athlete. I mean, growing up, I loved Mia Hamm.
I think that's a very common answer among.
Yeah.
Yeah, among women. But what's the best piece of advice you've ever received?
Ooh, well, recently, the best piece of advice I ever received was from John Strong via Vin Scully, because when you work on the sideline, you don't. Oh, this is why I'm bad at rapid fire, because now I'm going into a story. But also, I can't believe I'm getting ready to tell you this.
Ooh, exclusive.
On the sideline, you don't have time to use the bathroom. So I can't go pee at any point. From when the game starts until way after. And usually it's not even from when the game starts. It's like from when I get there, because we start doing, if we have to tape anything, or we do rehearsals, so I just don't have the time. So I purposely will dehydrate myself. I don't drink a lot of water.
Oh, wow. That doesn't seem safe.
But the problem with that, and you know this from doing a lot of radio stuff, you can't get cotton mouth, right? Like when you're dehydrated and your mouth, you get sticky, and then it's like trying to get your words out sometimes. So the best piece of advice I've ever received recently is John Strong telling me that he heard Vin Scully once talk about how to get through a long broadcast and not drink a lot of water, because he also didn't have time to go to the bathroom. He ate Jolly Ranchers. He always had a bag of Jolly Ranchers. So for the first time ever,
wow,
in Bank of California Stadium, I was totally the girl with the green tongue, because I had a green apple Jolly Rancher throughout the first half, so I could do my job, which was fantastic.
That's great.
So next time you're at the store, you should get a bag.
I am, and I am going to tweet you a picture of it.
And this perfect.
That's so great.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I've never heard that before.
I know, me neither. A lot of people say, like, the advice you get when you sign on with, like, a Fox or something is, hey, you want to make sure that your voice is super important. So, and usually when you start, like, when you start a beginning of a season, or, we'll make fun of John because he's got to talk the whole game, and you go through these these parts, usually at the beginning, where your voice just isn't used to it. You're talking so much, and so you'll lose it a little bit, or you'll just be really scratchy, which will make you sound slightly different. And, you know, that was actually one of those moments on Zlatan's epic first MLS goal. John had like a sore throat because of this. And so he was really disappointed because he's like, oh, you know, my goal call, you can tell my voice doesn't sound right. We're like, your goal call was amazing.
It was
like,
great.
It was great, right? But he was going through one of those things. And so they tell you, they're like, a company's advice is always have, you know, throat lozenges with you, which is great advice. But the problem with eating those a lot, it's, they're like medical, right? So you don't want to eat a ton of those. And I think on the back of them, it even says like no more than three a day. Well, I'm telling you right now, I went through like five Jolly Ranchers during that game this weekend. So, and sometimes you just don't, you know, ew, you want to like have a cough drop right now. So Jolly Ranchers, I would have never thought of it myself, but hey, if it worked for Vin Scully, it's sure as well going to work for me. And it definitely did this weekend. So I don't know. Pretty cool.
I've heard a couple other, like Joe Buck has talked about some things that he does, but I've never heard the Jolly Rancher thing. So I'll have to get one.
Yeah.
What's your favorite season, like, of the four? Not MLS or MLB or anything. What's your favorite, like, actual physical season?
This is so hard because I feel like I'm betraying the other three when I pick one, right? Because I do, I love summer because I love to be hot. I hate being cold, but my favorite season is fall because I'm in Ohio where the leaves change, and it's probably the only time you want to come to Ohio is the fall because it's gorgeous and it's sweatshirt, it's hoodie weather. You know, you can go out in just your favorite hoodie and ball cap or whatever. I love that, but I also hate being cold. So summer/fall. Can I do that? Is that cheating?
It's kind of cheating.
Okay, fine.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's close.
Plus, you get so like August, September, right?
So like August, September ish, maybe.
It whenever pumpkin spice latte comes back to Starbucks.
October 1st,
like fall pumpkin spice latte time.
October 1st to October 31st.
Perfect.
So October basically is your favorite season. Thank you.
That's what my birthday is. So that's perfect.
Perfect. MLS decision day. Oh,
yes.
Wow. That's
how great is that?
October. Ugh. Katie's favorite month.
Yes.
We just broke through right there. That feels good.
I'm starting to answer your question finally. It's only taken so long.
It's only taken two shows in 3 hours, but we got there.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's see here. What's the most beautiful place you've ever been?
Ooh, the most beautiful place I've ever been.
And keep in mind, these answers are supposed to be 10 seconds or less. So we haven't done a great job at this.
I know. Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico.
I went to, this small island off of the coast of Puerto Rico, which is still considered Puerto Rico. It's called Vieques. And I'm not sure what the hurricanes did to it. But if you can go to Vieques, go there. It's amazing.
If Katie Whittem could have one more song she listens to for the rest of eternity, what would it be?
Oh, man. That is so hard. I love music. Music is like my mood setter and my mood lifter. Oh, one song. Counting Crows, Mr. Jones.
Okay. Fair enough. I
don't know.
I mean,
but that's just because that came on the radio earlier. I'm cheating. I don't know. I'm so nervous right now. I love Free Falling. I like John Mayer's version of it. I know that's cheating. Oh, people are going to hate me when they hear me say I like John Mayer's version of Free Falling. But have you heard that?
Yeah, I have. It's a good song.
Yes.
I mean, yeah. I like it better too, so don't feel alone.
Yeah. Okay. Sign me up for that one.
Yeah. I mean, only like six people listen to this podcast, so it's fine. No one's gonna.
Well, seven.
That's seven.
Maybe eight. My mom's gonna listen to it now. Yeah. Hey, mom.
Hey, Katie's mom. No, it's just like Alexi. He always says, like, yeah, three people listen to it, and one of them's my mom. Like, this is my music, so to speak.
That just means we've got good moms, right?
Yeah. So, hello, hey mom. So I appreciate you listening, Mom. I know your busy day is being interrupted by my voice again. It's almost Mother's Day. So
it is, exactly. And we love our mom. Yeah. So happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day. I promise I won't be watching too much of Orlando and Atlanta on Mother's Day, but FS1, little promotion for you. FS1,
there we go.
Orlando, Atlanta at 5 o'clock Central. Then Katie, you're going to be in Los Angeles for LAFC in New York City. So double header. A lot of people are going to be like sneak watching it.
Yes. Well, yeah. That's exactly what Mom wants to do on her day, is watch a doubleheader of soccer on Fox.
4 hours.
Right? It sounds perfect.
4 hours of soccer. Yeah. It sounds like a good idea. But last one, I think this is probably the most important one out of all of them.
Oof.
What celebrity chef would you have fix you a meal?
Oh, I'm terrible with names. What celebrity chef would you have fix you a meal?
Katie,
can I do that?
I understand it's your job to ask questions and stuff.
To deflect?
To deflect.
Turn the question around every now and then? Oh.
I understand you're not usually on the side of this. We've had this conversation before.
I know. Okay, so the last two games that I did, I was in LA for, you know, I got to see LAFC's brand new training facility that just opened. And then before that, I was in Atlanta, and Atlanta's training facility is ridiculous. And both of those places, I don't know if it was just that I was really hungry, because you know how like everything tastes better when you're starving, or everything smells delicious when you're hungry. We were finishing interviews with Atlanta, the home team, 2 weeks ago, and then LAFC this past week. And of course I'm starving, and the players are, you know, getting ready to go into the, you know, their dining room, which is nicer than my house, their dining room, and have their meal prepared by the team chefs. And my celebrity chef would be either Atlanta's team chefs or LAFC's, because both of those meals smelled incredible. I don't even know what they were, but wow, sign me up.
I don't think anyone really cares when they're hungry what the smell is.
Yeah, that's right.
But Katie, I appreciate you making time. We carved out an hour and 11 minutes for this, and it was absolutely one of the best interviews I've done on this show, because this is episode 3. But
so you're setting the bar low. I love it. That's perfect for me, Riley. That's perfect.
But it took us a long time to get this done, and
it did.
You know what, it was worth it. It was worth the wait. It was worth all the emails. You're one of the nicest people I've met doing this. I've said this to you before. So hospitable and so kind and helping me out. So I appreciate you a lot.
Well, that is, you are very kind. And your check in the mail, and I've enjoyed every single minute, and ditto right back at you. It's nice. It's wonderful to meet other nice people who are out there, and even better when you meet them in your own field and industry. So thank you.
Right. I don't know how much pull you have with the people scheduling games, and I understand, you know, most of the stuff has been scheduled, but you guys should really come to Houston a little bit more.
I know.
I think it's a good idea.
Do need to. The Dynamo need to pick it up for us a little bit.
Yeah.
What's going on with them lately?
They're not good.
a little bit. But, you know.
Kyoto's been out for a bit. He just got back in starting lineup, and they're picking it up. They just beat Toronto FC 2, basically, 5-1.
Yeah, I know. I'm not sure how much stock you can put in that game. But
yeah, but they're playing Zlatan United this week, so I'm excited.
Hey, there we go.
Yeah, and a little promotion for myself, MLS Aces, if anyone cares, we'll have a joint podcast. We're doing it live from this barbershop in Houston, Texas, before the LA Galaxy and Houston Dynamo game. It's going to be fantastic. I'm excited. Mike Tabala is going to be on for like 30 minutes, hanging out, doing radio stuff with us.
You're going to have so much fun with him, and I hope he's wearing spandex. And if he is... The one question you have to ask him, he wears so much spandex.
Always.
And he's proud of it.
Like, oh, yeah.
He just rocks it. And then he goes, and then he tells me, you know, guys, women usually say to guys, hey, eyes up, bud, right? He turned and looked at me at lunch and was like, hey, eyes up, eyes up. And I was like, whoa, I love you. Like, I don't even know where to go with this. So one of the questions that you have to hit at him is, how many pairs of spandex or how many pieces of spandex does he own? I'm dying to know.
We're going to get to that. Yes. It'll be live and all on Sports Network. It'll be available for podcasts on this show and MLSA. So I'm very excited to be able to do that. And also, Zlatan's coming to town. So if you're in anywhere near an MLS city, an LA Galaxy playing on the road near you, you should go check out, one, support local soccer, of course, and two, go see Zlatan because he is just a masterful player. He is a masterclass athlete, and plus he's fun.
Yep. Worth the price of admission just to watch him, for sure.
Have you talked to Zlatan yet?
I have not spoken to him personally. We were supposed to chat with him in our second game, or his second game. And then he was on Jimmy Kimmel. I think he was everywhere in that span of his first week. And so they were trying to kind of dial it back a little bit. So unfortunately I haven't, but I feel like Rob and Alexi on the pregame show with the cologne totally made up for that, right? Like total pros with how they go about their business. But we have our next Galaxy game isn't until later in the summer. So hopeful that they're going to be rocking and rolling and it'll be, you know, that much more exciting to be able to chat with him then.
Yeah, I'm excited. In my hand right now is actually the LA Times where he took out a whole page. I got someone in LA to mail it to me. It's like, I want this. I want to frame it and put it up in my office. Like, this is our league right here. This is MLS, the league that we support, we love, and we cover. And this is our guy right now.
Yeah, great marketing, right? I mean, come on.
But I'm sure LA StubHub will be sold out for a couple more home games this year. They actually sold out the Dynamo game for the first time since they played Seattle in the Western Conference Finals.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's awesome. I love it.
So, yeah, but that's when you and I actually met face-to-face last time they
sold out.
So having you on the podcast the same week, I guess that means something.
Yeah.
But I appreciate you. Thank you so much for making time. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you on.
Thank you for having me.
What a lady. Very, very happy she decided to make time for the show. And it was fantastic. And if you made it this far, I applaud you. I think you're a great human being. Thank you for listening to If Anyone Cares. My closing moment of the week is I want to give a shout out to the Koreas. They formally ended the career, or not yet, but they're signing a document on the anniversary of the Korean War to finally end it after 65 years. Kim Jong-un and President Moon are going to formally end conflict between those two countries. I think that's something we should probably note. Side thing, congratulations to all my beloved LSU Tigers who got drafted into the NFL this past week. We did not do a show on it because I was out of town in Baton Rouge for the spring game. So fantastic stuff. And Darius Geis is going to be a bust. Thank you for listening to the show. I'm Riley Manis for Katie Whittem, If Anyone Cares.